Does anybody remember what we talked about last time we were together? 2 weeks ago? Anything? Something about church.
Our beliefs as a church congregation, kind of like our...
Okay. What the church believes, what the church is supposed to do.
Purposes of the church.
That was it. The purpose of the church. That was the whole thing. So, yes. Look at you guys. See? I knew you'd remember. Okay, does anybody remember what some of those purposes were? Did you see me start to say it and then I stopped? Okay, so baptism is something that the church is supposed to do.
Worship.
Communion. You are cheating. For growth. Growth. Encouragement. Prayer. Okay, so all of these things. And we kind of broke it down into three different areas of ministry. So ministering to God, worshiping, glorifying Him, ministering to the congregation, to the members of the church, and then ministering to the world. And all of the things that we said fit into there. And I said we're going to spend some time for the rest of this semester kind of talking about what that looks like and breaking it down into even smaller pieces. So today we're going to talk about something that you're going to have to stick with me. I think that we're going to be okay. But it's one of those things that you need to know now to be ready for it later. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention to me right now. Okay? Agreed? Today we're going to talk about church membership. So some of you, actually, if you are not a leader, you are currently the responsibility of your parents or your guardian, whoever is in charge of you. They make most of your decisions for you, the big ones at least. Maybe not like what clothes you have to wear in the morning, but they make sure that you're fed and they decide what school you go to and all these things. And they also decide, do you go to church or not? Some of you come to church with your family. Some of you might just come to church with a friend, but your parents let you go. All these sort of things. So right now it's their responsibility to choose whether or not to be members of a church and then to include you in that decision. Eventually, it's going to be your decision to be a member of a church, and you might continue to go to the church that you grew up in. So for me, I've been here at LifePoint. Well, I've been at LifePoint since I've been LifePoint, and then before that it was CCS since I was 7. So I was just kind of like grandfathered in. My parents were members, and as I became an adult, able to make my own decisions, I continued with that. So I was grandfathered into membership. If you're somebody like my dear friend Caitlin, she moved away for college and she got plugged in to a church that was brand new to her. So she wasn't grandfathered in. She had to commit herself to a local body. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about that because you guys are just kind of members because of your parents or because of whoever goes to this church with you, that doesn't mean that you don't have responsibilities as a member of the church, and it doesn't mean that the church doesn't have responsibilities towards you, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today, and this is another one of those lessons that's just going to continue to prepare you as we keep breaking it down over the rest of the semester. On it? Are we on the same page? Okay, so first of all, can anybody tell me what it means to be a member of a church? And I'll tell you, when I started preparing for this lesson, I was kind of like, well, I don't know if I could give you an actual definition because, like I said, I was kind of grandfathered in. So this was a really good lesson for me to put words to that. Does anybody know? Molly, what do you think? You agree with their beliefs. That's an important part of being a member of the church. Anybody else? It's okay. So being a member of the church basically means that you have committed yourself to a local body. So like I said, when Caitlin moved to Indianapolis, she chose to commit herself to LifePoint. She chose to serve. She chose to attend on Sunday mornings and to get involved in their ministries. Okay? Committing yourself to a local body. Now, some churches handle this differently than other churches. And I was talking about this with some of your small group leaders. Some churches say, if you are going to be an official member of our church, we want you to go through a class. We want you to get educated on what we believe so that you can know whether you agree with it. So let's say I've been going to LifePoint for 3 years, but I didn't know something that I completely disagreed with. Well, it's my job and the church's job to educate me and for me to be educated to know that I agree with what they're saying. Now, Pastor Jim talked a little bit this morning about those secondary things. So things that maybe aren't going to be the things that save you, but they're still really important. And do we have to agree completely on those things in order to be a church? Does anybody remember what he said? No. Those secondary issues, those things that are important, but they don't save us, we don't have to agree on those to be a healthy church. We have to agree on the most important things. What's the most important thing that this church has to agree on? What's the gospel? Who can tell me the gospel?
Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Okay, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. What else?
God is holy and righteous. Man is sinful. The punishment for sin is death. And Jesus paid the penalty by dying on the cross for our sins and rising from the dead. And then we can have eternal life through faith and repentance.
Okay, yeah. Good job. So the core thing, that number one thing that the church has to agree on is the gospel. If you attend a church that does not agree with the gospel message, then that's not a church that you want to be a member of. That's not a church that you want to commit yourself to. If you go to a church that the pastor holds a belief that maybe you don't agree with, but it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation, then that can be okay. Now, if they run their church in a way that you don't think is biblical, or if you really feel strongly that something is incorrect, then that might be something that you need to act on. But as Pastor Jim was saying this morning, sometimes not even all of our elders completely agree on something, but they can act in grace and be okay with that. But the number one thing is the gospel. You find a church that you believe is healthy, you agree with the way that they run things, you believe that they're speaking truth. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And then you commit yourself to that local body, whether that means a membership class, whether that just means saying, like, this is my church, I'm going to get involved, I'm going to be here, they're going to help me grow, and I'm going to give back to the church. It sometimes can be situational, but that's like the number one thing, committing yourself to a local body. And there are some people that might tell you, well, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, which means that I'm saved, so I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be committed to a local body. If you tell me that I have to go to church to be a Christian, then you're telling me then I need more than just Jesus to be saved. And that gets kind of confusing. So today we're going to talk about why it's so important to be committed to a church. Okay? The number one thing is that God gives us commands on how to be part of a church. He commands us on how to treat one another. He commands us on being leaders in that church. So by not following those commands, we're in disobedience of him. When you're saved, when you truly are saved by Christ, do you want to be disobedient to him? No, you don't. You crave to be closer to him. You want to obey him. You want to follow his commands. So that's the number one thing. You join a church because the Bible tells you to, and as a Christian, you choose to be obedient to that. So God commands us on how to treat one another. There are a lot of one another's in the Bible, verses that say, like, do this to one another, do that to one another, and we're going to spend some time talking about those during the semester. Love one another, serve one another, encourage one another, and in order to follow these commands, we have to be around other believers. If I sat in my house on Sunday mornings, and I wasn't committed to a local body, would I be able to serve other believers? No. Would I be able to encourage other believers? No. That sort of thing. And we'll break that down a little bit more in the following weeks. God commands us to have leaders in our lives. So, for example, the leader of this church is who? We have a lot of pastors, actually. We have multiple pastors. I'm just going to go with Jim, okay? Let's talk about Pastor Jim. He commands us to have a leader, to follow somebody, and Jim has people in his life that he views as leaders as well. To follow somebody and to know them well enough and know their teaching well enough to know that you can trust them to lead you. If I just come to church every now and again, like maybe 1 week I'll come and then I won't come for another month and then I'll come again, am I going to get to know Jim well enough to know if I agree with his teaching? No. So that's why it's so important to be committed, to be involved, to get to know people, to know that you agree with their teaching. It also, being a part of a church, shows a distinction in your life. So do you remember when we talked about being saved by faith, not by works, but that those works were still important? Do you remember that? So we talked about how those works don't save you, but they're the fruit in your life that's shown by the relationship that you have with Christ. And church is another one of those things. Are you saved just because you go to church? No. But is church an example or a work of your salvation? Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a passage in Acts. And I really love this passage, but we're just going to talk about it for a second. So it's when the Holy Spirit comes down. It's Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes down, okay, and everybody kind of freaks out for a second. What's going on? We don't know what's happening. Everybody's talking strangely. We don't know what's going on. And Peter says, everybody calm down, and he presents the gospel to them. He says, Jesus was our Lord and Savior, and he was killed, and then he rose on the third day to save all of us. And there were all these people listening to him. And the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I'm skipping a couple verses. And it said, so those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. So first of all, 3,000 people brought to Christ in one day. That's really awesome. But the Bible makes a distinction here of those people were over here, and now they've been added to this group of believers. So there's a distinction there, right? Before they weren't a part of this group, and now that they've accepted Christ, they are a member of this group. And the Bible continues on and continues to say that more and more were added to their number every day. So every single day, this group grew. There's a difference between these people over here that don't believe in Christ, or maybe that have heard the message but haven't accepted it, and these people over here who were saved. So when you commit yourself to a church, you are putting yourself into a group of people that have been saved, and it's a sign of your salvation. It doesn't mean you're saved, but it's one of those works that we do because we are saved. We talked a little bit about accountability. Does anybody remember what accountability is? Anybody? Anybody? Molly? So you're keeping each other on track, whether that be with reading your Bible, whether that be with a sin that you know that you have in your life, keeping each other on track. When you become part of a local body, you have those people that keep you on track. Your small group is really good about that. If you know that you're struggling with a sin, you shouldn't be scared to confess that to the people around you. In fact, you should feel safe enough to say, I have been treating my mother terribly, and I would really like you to hold me accountable and to ask me continuously if I'm treating her with respect so that I can have someone always reminding me what I'm supposed to do. That is one of the things that the church is supposed to do for you and that you're supposed to ask of the church. It also gives you an opportunity for ministry. Next week, Kyle's going to talk to you about spiritual gifts, which is something that we've all been given in order to participate in God's ministry. And the church is the first step in that. Now, we're called to minister to the ends of the earth. But that first place that you minister to is the church, is your local body, by serving. When we first talked about the church, how many of you serve somewhere in the church? You work in the nursery, you've done VBS before. All the small group leaders should be raising their hands because they're serving here right now. Awesome. So some of you have already started taking these steps. And it's something that God calls us to do. He calls us to ministry. And you can't minister to your local body if you're not part of a local body. It allows order and planning for the church to be a member. This is kind of like a business thing. But if the church, if LifePoint doesn't document how many people are members of the church, they have no way of knowing how many people are going to show up to something, right? They don't know if people come sometimes and they don't come another time. There's no consistency, and they have no way of ordering things. So if Mary really, really needs volunteers for VBS, but we don't have any idea of how many members we have or how many people might be coming, they can't plan for that. And that seems kind of like not a huge deal. But the Bible gives instructions on how a church is supposed to be ordered and organized, and the church can't do that unless they know how many members they have and they know how many people are going to be ministering at that time. And then the last one, which is the first thing I said, is that it's just obedience. The Bible commands us to be part of a local body, and we follow that command because of our salvation, because we want to draw closer to Christ and we want to do what he tells us to do. We follow that command. And that's really all I have to talk to you about tonight, which I know is kind of short. But like I said, this is kind of that precursor sort of thing so that we can get really deep into some other stuff the rest of the semester. This is the very basics of everything that we're going to be talking about. Why does the church exist? Why do we need to be part of the church? And like I said, right now, you are a member of this church because your parents are members of this church, or because your aunt or your friend's parents and you come along with them. That's why you're a member. But that gives you a responsibility. You are responsible to do the things that we're learning about, and the church is responsible to do the things that we're learning about to you. So the church is responsible to make sure that you're growing. All right? Okay, so ask tons of questions to your small group leaders. They can handle it. They're big kids. They know what they're doing. Ask about the church. Ask about beliefs that LifePoint has, because that's the church that you are a member of right now. Ask about what it looks like to move away from home and have to find a new church, because that's something that not very many of you have experienced. And some of you have, but not all of you. So ask people about that. Just ask a lot of questions, because this is a really good time to get to know that stuff. So let me pray, and then we will split into our small groups. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the love that you have for us and the love that you have for your church. And I thank you for this local body that we are able to be a part of, to participate in, to serve in. I pray this evening that our conversation will be focused, that it will be beneficial, that we will continue to grow in our knowledge of you and of the commands that you have given us, and that we will continue to be obedient in them. Amen.